in the fabled land of Northern California. Nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And funny thing today, first of all, thank you all for listening. But a funny thing today, something didn't happen before our the start of our podcast that normally does happen. Did you realize that, Mike?
No.
Right before podcast, we were talking about video games because that's something that we both love. I think I even suggested a video game to Mike that he really didn't know a whole lot about.
Yeah.
And he might be interested in. And I will admit that because of the fact that I'll give you a moment, Mike, to be able to inflate my ego a little bit, and I'll give the admission to the few people listening.
Okay.
I actually went and saw you at work directly after this happened. I completed my college courses and
yes.
I have graduated with my new associate's degree in medical billing and coding.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I'm looking at it right now. Associates of Applied Science degree in medical billing and coding.
Yes. Very, very well done, sir. Very well done.
Which is thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
And so because I did that, I graduated. My wife got me some graduation present stuff. And long story short, she somehow finagled me into being a part of the Animal Crossing universe, which is how the conversation kind of started. Yes, people,
yeah.
I'm playing Animal Crossing. Anybody that wants to, I guess, visit my island or have me visit theirs that's listening, hit us up on the Facebook page and I can see what can be done about that.
Oh man.
I mean, it's not like we have, you know, thousands and thousands of listeners, but hey, maybe somebody on the YouTube page, that checks out on YouTube. Yes, we're on YouTube, everybody. I know it's a little early for this, Mike, but, I'm still going to bring it up. Anybody
sure,
that's listening on YouTube, they're like, hey, that one, kind of still fat guy, but not as fat as he was before guy on the Xenial Chronicles. Maybe I want to check out his island and see what it's like. So anyway, we were talking about video games. The one thing that didn't happen before the podcast, normally Mike has the same exact question for me, and I'm kind of glad he didn't ask the question today. You know what your normal question is, Mike?
You know, it's done by reflex. Sometimes I'm drawing a blank right now.
Well, you were earlier too, I'm guessing, because normally what Mike does is ask me, so what do we have for a topic today?
Yes.
And sometimes I say, yes, we have a topic, yada, yada, yada. And sometimes he's like, okay, cool. And somebody's like, are you sure you want to talk about that? And sometimes he's like, okay,
yeah.
But I also have this topic. And again, sometimes I'll say, I don't have anything. What do you got? And he'll be like, oh, I got this. I'd like to talk about or that. I'd like to talk about. And then sometimes nobody has the topic and it's just like, you know what? We'll just start having a conversation and see what happens. Well, Mike
so
did not ask me.
I didn't. I didn't ask before the podcast this morning.
No, you didn't ask me. And I am super excited that you didn't ask me because I actually have two topics to talk about.
Oh, really?
One that's serious. And by this, I say it's an important, serious thing. It's about an event that happened this week.
Oh.
And technically an event that is happening today. And just so we're clear what today is, you'll be hearing this on Monday, but we're recording this on Saturday, the 19th of June.
Yes.
So I want that to be clear as we go into the discussion, because the first topic we will talk about is the serious thing that is now the reality of the 19th of June. And then the mm-hmm. second thing we'll talk about after the break, we're going to end with a little bit of levity. Even though the matter that we have to talk about is very, very serious, it's serious in a more amusing way and not in the serious way that the truly serious and important way that the first topic is. You see what I'm saying? So it's like
yes.
The second topic is mock serious. And I want to be clear about that. Normally,
okay.
On a normal occasion, I would like make it sound super serious when it's just the mock seriousness. But we have something important to talk about first.
So much prefacing. I love it.
I know. So the first thing we are going to talk about is the fact that it is June 19th.
Yes.
And June 19th is now being recognized as a federal holiday.
Yeah, national federal holiday. Means you can't go to the bank.
Does that mean that this year they're not going to deliver mail today, or is that going to take start taking effect next year?
That is a good question. I mean, I don't, if it's been declared, like, yeah.
Well, it was only declared 2 days ago.
Well, yes, but I mean, that doesn't mean you, if you've declared it before it happens, do you still celebrate it on a national level? I would assume that you probably would.
You'd guess that they'd already be prepared for it. But again,
and by the way, I want to.
This is the U.S. government we're talking about. Yeah. Here, so they're not prepared for anything.
Well, there's definitely some other. There's obviously a lot of other problems that need to be fixed, and I don't want to necessarily get too deep into that.
Yeah.
But and it definitely can't be. It cannot be solved with just declaring a national holiday. Let's be real. But no, at least this opens the door for the subject to be talked about, and that's the point.
Well, and for clarity's sake, for people who for some reason don't know, and there are people that don't know, I actually had to explain the fact that there was a holiday, or there was going to be a holiday, called Juneteenth to somebody who I explained it to an extent last year when the discussion had become a major thing during all of the protesting and riots that were happening.
Yeah, when it finally became like open discussion, public information. I mean, it's been public information. You could have a discussion, but nobody was having it. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Nobody white was having the discussion.
Yes, and that's what I mean by that. Let me walk back a statement or two, because I am not trying to make light of this situation. No. This is something that you're absolutely right is very serious. And so the bank thing that I said earlier, I wasn't saying it to be facetious. I wasn't saying it to be lighthearted at all.
Even in moments of seriousness.
Yeah, this is real.
But a little bit of lighthearted and a little bit of appropriate comedy is okay. Again, the fact that within 24 hours of my mother passing, me and my sisters and my father were able to make different jokes about things.
Yeah.
We're the people that were most affected by the situation. And that was a very emotional, very significant moment in our lives and a very hard moment to deal with.
Yeah.
And part of the way that we deal with hard moments as a family and just as individual people, the way that we've learned to deal with those is by injecting a little bit of humor in it. And that doesn't necessarily work for all people. And there's levels of humor that you can have. Your humor that you were using was perfectly fine. It was not in any way detrimental towards the purpose of Juneteenth and the idea behind it. There still has to be some availability for humor, as long as it is not in any form attacking anybody or in an attempt to be hurtful.
Okay.
And saying, you can't go into the banks. That's not necessarily hurtful unless you're saying it like, well, because of this holiday, I can't go into
banks
anymore.
It's about being,
that was not your, that wasn't your tone or intention.
No, I just wanted to make sure
thing,
of that.
Same thing with the mail thing is, you know, that's my tone and intention is not, crap, I'm not going to get my mail day. It's like, is the mail running? I don't know. It's brand new. Is it going to happen or not? We'll see. But it's another day that the mail may not run.
Yeah.
But the point here is this isn't something that, and the person that asked about it, cause I mentioned it yesterday to them and they're like, okay, yeah, we talked about this last year. What exactly is this? And I was even uninformed. Me, who likes to think I'm informed about a lot of things, I was even uninformed and gave incorrect information about what it was supposed to be commemorating. And then after seeing that person coming home doing some research, because I thought to myself, this person didn't know what it was. I'm going to do some research because I want to talk about this on the podcast. Because if one person I know doesn't know, there's probably a lot of people out there that don't know. And of course, the person that I was speaking to was white. I'm white. So these are things that have not been a part of our collective consciousness growing up. They have not been things that have been passed down through our family, which is the only way that the black community in America has heard about this for all the years preceding this is through the connections of their family, teaching them about black history and black heritage, because it's not taught the same way in schools. The date is mentioned in schools when they are teaching about emancipation, but it's they mention the date and then it's done. Nothing else is said about it. It's like, here you go, here's the date, and we're done with it.
I got a question for you, actually. Speaking of which, because this is something that the two of us went to school at relatively the same time, right? I don't remember hearing mention of Juneteenth at any point in grade school all the way through high school. Like, maybe if it was mentioned once.
I thought I heard about it during... It would have been mentioned once, and it would have been mentioned as they were talking about the end of the Civil War. They would have talked about the fact that in Texas, basically Texas was the last place where the Emancipation Proclamation was announced.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on June 19th, 1863, that was announced. And even then, there were some slave owners in Texas who did not tell their slaves.
Of course they didn't.
Some never did, and the slaves just found out.
Yeah. But June 19th was the final day where it was essentially...
the last place in the United States at that point, and what was the United States at that point, the last place where they finally announced the Emancipation Proclamation
idea is that Juneteenth is the day that it was legitimately final. Everybody knew, not the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, not the writing, not the declaration. It was the fact that finally, it was unequivocally undeniable. Every single state in the entire nation knew that slavery was technically ended, right?
Basically, yeah. I mean,
on a legal level.
It's basically the idea that the very last slaves to hear about the Emancipation Proclamation in the United States, of the very last slaves to hear that they were free and no longer slaves, happened on June 19th, 1863. That's the kind of idea around it, and the idea that it is basically an Independence Day for anybody that is descendant of slaves.
Yeah, anybody. Yeah. It's the same as when you're looking at, even though it's kind of like it has the same levity to it as, and I am not saying this to be. Because we trivialize a lot of this kind of stuff, like, but when you're looking at like St. Patrick's Day or Cinco de Mayo or something like that, a lot of that has been convoluted, and a lot of it has been kind of
St. Patrick's Day is not necessarily
it's not the same day, but it's not national, like Cinco de Mayo a national holiday, like.
So
the mail is still delivered, like it's not really that big of a deal.
St. Patrick's Day is
an excuse to drink,
holiday.
You know, like
this. It is as is St. Patrick's Day. They're basically in America. We, for most of our holidays, we just look for excuses to drink and blow shit up.
I don't want that kind of abuse to happen to this holiday. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. If it runs anything like America's Independence Day from British rule, July 4th, which is funny because that's just some arbitrary date. We've gone over before when the Declaration of Independence was actually signed, when it was actually ratified, and that July 4th is just a date that kind of got pulled out of somebody's ass.
Yeah.
It's really not. Nothing really specific of importance happened on that day. July 2nd, more things happened than what happened on July 4th. But that's America's Independence Day. And if this goes anything like that, it's still Americans we're talking about that this Independence Day is for. So at some point or another, somebody's going to want to blow stuff up. Yes, that tendency to have fireworks and whatnot, and by blow stuff up, I want to clarify here, I'm talking about fireworks and those displays that happen in on the 4th of July. I'm not talking about like bad blowing things up like buildings and whatnot. That's a whole different story.
Right.
But typically fireworks have, fireworks shooting off guns that on the 4th of July, that is a very white redneck thing. I'm not saying that other groups don't get involved, but that's kind of there is a specific stereotype that you think about when you think about fireworks on the 4th of July.
Definitely.
Whether it's wrong or right to think of the stereotype, there is one that you think about.
I feel like I had one of my first major experiences of actually being like really old and being pissed off at kids. Speaking of fireworks, this is completely off subject, but I wanted to tell you about this. So I'm doing a live stream with we're doing a Chronosode live stream with Tash, right? And right in the middle of our live stream at like 9:30 at night, almost 10 o'clock.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Kids start lighting M80s at the house next door to me.
Oh, no.
On the street.
How dare they? How dare they? At 9:30 at night?
I know,
that's
right?
Way too late to be making that kind of noise.
I know. It sounds stupid. It sounds really dumb. But it's the fact that it was M80s, first off, which aren't legal here, and second off, it set off every single one of the dogs in the house, where one of them actually gets like he's almost tremor level scared when he hears explosions. Uh-huh. Most of the dogs tend to be okay, but there is one that gets absolutely terrified and has to hide underneath us. He gets up, he groups up into a ball, and he is just completely terrified and barking.
Which one is it?
And freaking out. Oso.
Is it Adam?
No.
It's Oso. Okay,
Adam's
Oso. Fine. That makes sense.
Adam's like, what the fuck? And then he starts barking.
Adam's gonna go kill it.
Yeah, Adam's gonna kill it. Adam wants to kill the thing. And we hear the big boom and we're like, what the hell is that? And it's in the middle of our stream. And I know that it's not necessarily smart when you hear explosions to open the front door, but I couldn't see anything. So I was wondering how, because it seemed really close. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I open my front door and another one goes off and I see the sparks fly and I slam my door shut immediately. But it was so loud
did you call the cops?
Oh yeah, I called. Non-emergency line. I wasn't 911 and I'm not that kind of an asshole. But I
did. You're old.
I did not. Yeah, I sorry, dude.
You might even be older than me at this point.
Look,
that might
man,
have put
like,
you over the edge. And that's even with all my kid modifiers. Because I've got three kids, so that puts an extra 12 years on me already.
I know. I felt so damn old when I did it, but I was just like, you know what, man? My dogs are barking all over the fucking place.
Did you have your Metamucil today? Did you drink your Ensure?
No, I didn't. Not yet. Not yet. That's for later.
Do I need to bring you one of the extra walkers that I have?
No, 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 no. I'm good there.
I got the one.
I'm good there.
The
I've only got a small limb, James, front. Okay? Just a small one. So, yeah, I confess to it, but
you feel,
it's just the fact that, like...
You feel the pain. No, you're experiencing talk about the pain that I actually feel every single year at 4th of July.
Okay.
I too am a pet owner.
Okay.
I grew up in a household with dogs. And I grew up in a household with Shelties, Shetland Sheepdogs, which are basically a mix between a Springer Spaniel and a Collie. They look like a Collie, but they're like smaller. People call them miniature Collies. They are not miniature Collies. They are their own separate breed of dog.
Right.
But they look exactly like a Collie. Or they call them Shelties if they know what they're talking about.
Okay.
And very loyal, very smart dogs, good, fairly decent working dogs like a Collie would be, but they have the energy level of what a Spaniel has. So they're bouncing off the freaking walls all the time. And they are definitely, they have like tiny dog syndrome in a medium-sized dog. So even the slightest noise, they are just barking like crazy and want to kill it. And
right.
We would have to sedate every one of the dogs every year at when I was younger and lived in the East Bay near East Bay of San Francisco, we'd have to sedate the dogs every year and be huddled inside with them. I never went to fireworks shows as a kid. I never did fireworks as a kid. My kids have only done fireworks one year when I was persuaded to by one of their aunts and the aunt's boyfriend, and I hated the entire thing. And I told my wife it would never happen again. And basically we huddle inside we only have one dog at this point, and he's super chill. He hears the noises and he's just like, okay, whatever. The door alarm goes off because I have like chimes on my doors to open the door because I have an alarm system. Uh-huh. So anytime a door opens, we hear a chime. When he hears that chime, he'll go ballistic because he wants to know who the hell's coming in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
But most anything else, most noises, he's just kind of like, nah, I don't care.
Yeah,
he's super chill about that. But no, I've had the problems with pets my entire life having that issue, and then you see. It never fails the Independence Day, day after 4th of July, you see a bunch of people on Facebook posting all their animals that have gone missing, that got out of the backyard, which is just irritating to me because, like, you know, my dog got out of the backyard while we were out at the fireworks. Okay, so you put your dog in the backyard. You went to watch fireworks. And what set your dog off to go run out? The fireworks. You're right. An idiot, and you shouldn't be allowed to own a pet. Just saying.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to take the responsibility with that and realize that these types of animals are not like... If that's the case, you're going to have to train them to not be freaked out by fireworks. But most animals, especially dogs, they freak the fuck out. Explosions, unexplained phenomena like that to a dog is terrifying. It's fucking terrifying.
They don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it. It's terrifying for people sometimes. But anyway, we'll have more of this conversation in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
When we get closer to Independence Day, but let's focus back again. See, I don't know. I'm worried we're doing the white thing and not focusing properly on this, on what today is. Today,
well,
seriously,
I mean, we can't.
I'll call myself out on it. And here's the thing.
Well, I feel like I'm trying to be to tread lightly as well. I feel like I need to stay in my lane on this. You know what I mean?
I was hoping you'd say that because here's my thing. I understand the idea and the concept of wanting to stay in your lane and wanting to tread lightly. But at the same time, I worry that it took so long for the rest of the country to understand the importance of a day like this, not just for the Black Americans that are, especially the ones descendant from families that were slaves, but any Black Americans. This day is significant for a very important reason. This is the day they want to recognize as the day when this country, as a country, as an organization, finally viewed people with their skin tone as people instead of property.
Yes.
And not only should they be celebrating this, because, and again, it doesn't matter whether you are a descendant from a family that were slaves or not. It's the fact that any person of African descent, any person that has any kind of darker skin tone than what is acceptable as white skin tone, can look at that date and say that is the day that this country recognized people that look like me as people instead of treating us like property. And we need to not just tread lightly on this. We need to be pushing this onto the people that don't want to recognize this as a holiday, the people that are fighting back, because this is a moment. We should look back on this moment as a moment when our country was finally wanting to treat people the right way. Our possible ancestors, the white ancestors of America, were finally recognizing different looking people as real people instead of treating them like property. This is a moment we should be proud of, as a moment of at least some growth. We're not there yet. We're not where we need to be. But the fact that we're able to, that this is being recognized, that it is made into a federal holiday that will be on every calendar now, that will have the banks closed and the post office not working. This will have to be recognized. And it should be, because we need to see This was a possible turning moment in history. Now, the thing that needs to happen with this also is not just to see that it was a turning moment in our history as a country, but where it didn't do enough. It only did so much. And where, even though it changed the way legally by the federal government, an entire class of people was viewed as people, finally, as living entities instead of just things that can be bought and sold, it still did not do enough in the society and the culture to bring about a true seeing others as the same as us, as the dominant group.
Yeah.
I would say it made a legal definition, but it did not change the way society was. And we are still, that's 1863. So we are 150 years, almost over 150 years removed from that. And we still are having the issues of equality. We're having the issues of this is made into a holiday and people are fighting back. People are fighting back to the point of trying to say, So what, they're going to take away regular Independence Day now that we have Black Independence Day? Why can't they, why can't they both be there? Why can't they both be celebrated and both be understood as this? The July 4th is the day that is recognized as the day that the United States became an independent nation from British rule, British colonial rule. June 19th is the day recognized when Black Americans became free to be people and not property.
Yeah.
In this country. Free, not to be, free to be recognized as people, because they were always people. It's not like suddenly, oh, you weren't a person before, but now you are. They were always people. They just weren't treated and recognized as people. And when we stay in our lane too much and say, oh, I'm the white guy, I really shouldn't talk about this. We should talk about it with deference, and we should talk about it with respect. And even if we make mistakes in the way that we talk about it, and somebody lets us know and we apologize for the mistake and we do it right the next time, we still do need to talk about it, because if we don't, we're not going to help the problem. We are, by not talking about it, by not bringing awareness to it,
well,
we
okay.
don't help the problem.
Let's.
We don't help make it better.
Okay, hold on one second. I understand where you're coming from, and that makes sense. I am in the mindset currently, especially learning more and more about it as I go. I feel like it's not that I don't want to talk about it at all. That's not the point.
Yeah.
And it's not careful. That I don't want to talk about it for fear of making a mistake or something assumptive. But the thing is that I feel like it is, it's still my time to listen to this kind of stuff. This is new information that I have been,
okay, and
this is relatively new information. Did I know the relative basics? Kind of. And I only say kind of because I only kind of know. And most Americans only kind of know maybe. And most,
yeah.
And many of them, dependent upon the region, don't even understand the shit at all. They don't understand what the quote-unquote end of slavery was. They don't understand how long it lasted, what was going on. They don't understand certain characteristics that are specifically tied only to American culture. How fucked up we did it. I heard that.
You didn't hear that, did you? Oh, that's funny. That was Hulu letting me know that it's Juneteenth. No, and
Hulu?
That's things I, Hulu, yes.
Fucking Hulu. Okay, let me keep let me finish my thought on this.
So good, sorry.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Hulu. Okay. So anyway, I am in right now. I am still learning so much that I don't want to make an assumptive. I don't want to be assumptive of any of this information until I have a much better understanding of what's happening. I am blown out. I've actually started watching a series on it. Are you familiar with the Crash Course series? I think I might have talked about it before. That's the one that's run by PBS. It's run on YouTube. Yeah.
You probably talked about it before, but it's not clicking in my mind.
There's a series of videos that are between, 5 and 20 minutes long, dependent upon the specific lesson on stuff. And they do stuff on European history. Like, and it's called Crash Course because it's literally just like 5 minutes on an era, Crash course on the American Revolution, on the Black Plague, on the Renaissance, on XYZ, right? They just this year started a crash course. It's supposed to be like 40 or 50 videos, I think, that's being released. It's one a week, and it's going to take place over it's between 40 and 50 videos. It should end by the end of the year, if not go a little beyond that. But it is crash course on African American history, specifically on with a lot of concentration, of course, on slavery, civil rights, and all that kind of and all that encompasses the history encompasses Black history in the United States.
Yeah,
and I think it's only like 5 videos deep right now, but man, I'm telling you what, like there are so many things that I was not privy to when it came down to everything. We're talking the intercontinental slave trade, starting it out, the way we treated it versus the way that other countries treated it. The way that slavery was continually challenged. There was a challenge by Quakers, like a group of like 4 Quakers that said it was a violation of the Bible in court. That slavery was absolutely wrong. It showed the difference between I've learned a bit about the difference between how white slaves and indentured servants were treated versus Black slaves. There is such a rich and just large, detailed history. And this is, I know it's introduced by, and I'm sure that most of the information is compiled by a gentleman who is, I believe he received a doctorate in African-American history. And it was like a subject that didn't have that. I know that when he started, it didn't have that. There was no way that you could actually properly, like, there wasn't enough properly compiled information on African-American history at the time that he started to do his research and figure this stuff out and make sense of his family, of his bloodline. And that's why he did it. And it's a fascinating just reason, but the history that's being told on it is so rich. And there's so many details that I'm still absorbing information. So my point is that I feel so grossly uneducated in this subject that I don't think it's fair for me to make statements, and I want to try to, like, for myself, I want to try to avoid those statements because I'm learning so much.
I understand, but I just to ponder, don't answer. This is something just to ponder.
Okay.
How much of that is you still learning, and how much of that is societal pressure not to respond because of various issues? Like I say, this is not a thing to answer. This is a thing to think about. To get you in the process of it. Think of other subjects where you only had so much knowledge of and you were still learning the knowledge of, but you were maybe willing to talk about those subjects more and put out a little more with those subjects because they were safer subjects to put out information, whereas societal pressure maybe make this a more difficult subject. Again,
okay, I have a question. Actually, I have a return question on that. That's a good question. Okay. I think you're right to ask it. My response to that question is, where do you go and who do you ask without bringing up a painful thing, without bringing up such a painful thing?
Sometimes for the sake of getting the information.
You don't just ask somebody on the street, of course. Like, you don't do that. I would like to know, where do you collect this information and be able to verify it properly, especially when it wasn't concentrated on in the broad scope of the American education system for 400 years?
Yes, this is the beauty of the modern age in that we do have resources in which to find them through the internet. And it is on us, like you are doing. You're watching a show. You do research about the things on the internet. When I was wrong, when I was having the conversation yesterday and gave a completely wrong reason for what Juneteenth was, because I thought it was one thing from what little I had done of research on it. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not positive. Let me find out for sure. And I want to talk about this on the podcast because, again, if one person doesn't know, then maybe more people don't know. And I found out I was completely in error. The thing that I said it was about had nothing to do. Well, it had something to do with it in the sense that it had something to do with the Black American experience, but not the exact same thing at all, period. I was completely wrong. And I went back to the person and said, hey, yo, I was wrong about this. This is what Juneteenth is actually about. So that makes it way more important than what I thought it was about. I was completely off base. And the thing is, we have to have those moments to be able to be off base. And you are right in the sense that in our history classes in school, our the standard education that we went, elementary, junior high, high school, that standard education, keep in mind, American history starts basically, they'll talk about pre-Columbian times. And notice, basically thousands of years of history are lumped into pre-Columbian. Because as far as American historians are concerned, American historians, by the way, which are predominantly of European descent, therefore white.
Right.
Everything before Columbus discovering America, unimportant. Oh, a little footnote, Leif Erikson landed somewhere in Canada. But otherwise, everything before that gets lumped into pre-Columbian. You learn about that in the first like week or two of class, and then the rest of it is spent on America and true American history, because the only thing that mattered to the historians writing about American history is what happened when white people came.
Yeah.
Native Americans are a footnote. Black Americans are a footnote. It wasn't until I took a U.S. history course in in junior college, even. Junior college, I took a U.S. history course that spent that was U.S. history up to the Civil War, and then that was one course, and the second course was Civil War to present. And it actually spent, there's not a whole lot of time between the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. There's less than 100 years between that. There's like 70, 80 years, something like that, 90 years, 1776 to the 1850s, 1860s. So, I mean, not a whole lot of time there. So there was actually a whole lot of time spent on the pre-Columbian era and all of the different Native American tribes that lived all throughout the United States and the huge civilizations that they have. And the fact that our Constitution is actually based on the Iroquois Nation kind of charter of rules.
Wow.
There were so many things covered in. I took a Mexican-American history class. Dear God, the things that I learned, the words that we use that are Nahuatl words from one of the Native American tribes that lived in what is modern day Mexico, uh-huh. from the Aztecs. I mean, this is, you know, avocado, chocolate, all Aztec words. the language is Nahuatl. Hell, even Texas is technically an Aztec word. So is Mexico. But the richness of culture that is added in, that again, you're only going to get if you go into a specific study of history, because they have been sidelined in history. And yes, I'm still learning things. I'm still learning more and more. I did a lot of research yesterday about it, and I'm learning more and more about how celebrations are happening. The fact that one of the most high profile, somewhat modern celebrations of Juneteenth before the last couple of years, where it was brought finally to the mainstream forefront of American consciousness, was after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
This is something that has been prominent and, you know, sadly, it's a part of American culture, but a subset of American culture that the vast majority of American culture didn't want to take part in. And again, I understand being respectful, and I understand having some tread lightly, and I understand trying to continue gather information.
Yeah.
But we still need to talk about these things. We still need to, even if we do make some mistakes about them, correct our mistakes, find out the truth. You're right. Finding the people to go to get the information, not easy. They're not easy conversations to have. But they are necessary conversations to have if we want to move the public consciousness forward, and if we truly want to be somebody that is trying to help the situation be better, as opposed to let it be sidelined again. So I will admit I got caught off guard. This only was found out about on the 17th of June, since that's when it was written into things. That's Biden signed it into law on the 17th.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying only got 2 days. So I don't have anything beyond the normal plans I had for June 19th, which I did have plans. And no, they're not Father's Day plans, because that's tomorrow. And we already know that I don't really celebrate Father's Day. But I already have my June 19th plans. So I don't have any Juneteenth plans, but I guarantee it will be something I will look into, probably ignoring, just like every other holiday that I ignore except Christmas. The only reason I celebrate Christmas is I like the trees and I like giving presents.
I would like to say, like, I don't know, as far as my opinion on it, on my opinion on celebrating, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't feel like it's, how do I say this? I don't feel like it's my day. It's not my day to take to celebrate. You know, relax and take a day off work, I guess, but that's about it. You know, like, just leave it at that.
It isn't, man. See, here's the thing that's where I think that we may be. I'm putting this out there. I think we may be in error by not celebrating it. It is the day to celebrate the fact that people that are your friends, even if you don't think it affected you in the sense that you're white, so your family probably wasn't slaves. So first of all, you don't know if you have African descent within your family at some point or another, unless you've done a full genealogy. And I'm sure you've seen many different news articles.
You did
a full genealogy, so you know. So now you're in the databases, so that they know that.
Oh, fuck off! I was in the database before anyway. Like, I'm in the database. I've been in the database.
They have you in their database.
How's your fucking phone, man? Like, everybody's in the database. There's nobody who truly lives off the grid.
I know, I'm just giving crap. Anyway, point is, like, I have a teacher from
my 5G is amazing.
Yes, it is. Well, you got the shot too, so that's even worse. No,
yeah.
No, I have a teacher from high school that you would have no idea that his family, only two generations removed from him, were from the South and were former slaves.
Yeah. Wow.
He has, there's nothing in his appearance that would ever suggest that from you. And yet he's gone to like family reunions down in the South. And like him and his wife basically are the only white people in the picture. And these are direct cousins of his.
Yeah.
They're the only white people in the picture. And his family's just like, yeah, that's the white cousin. He's got a little black in him, but he's the white cousin. And but here's the thing.
I want to
the holiday.
Hold on before you move on, because I had a point to follow up on that. I didn't want to leave that alone. So as far as stating to not celebrate, like, I'm not looking not to celebrate. I just don't know how. I don't know how do you approach this. It's for lack of, again, this is a lack of knowledge. Like, and I like what you said, because I should. Well, I like what you said about it. The idea of, look, this is the day that it was finalized that the family history of good people that you know, your good friends, and some family members were finally able to recognize that they were viewed as equals to a degree. Let's be honest.
Legally, at least.
Legally, to a degree. I mean, there's other things that obviously they were not allowed, which is another subject entirely, right? That's another conversation. But it's something that's worth celebrating.
To dehumanize.
Yes. It's something that's worth celebrating that I don't know how to do it appropriately. And that's why I'm going to wait until I am taught what should be done. Because this is fresh, man. This is fresh on a national level to a lot of white people.
There's some lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
There's some lack of knowledge. And then there's some fear. There's some fear that exists in the doing it, you know, being disrespectful, cultural appropriation, for some people it's a concern to not, they don't want to misappropriate culture. Other people don't have any problem with it whatsoever.
Yeah.
And don't understand.
Go to every bar on a holiday weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean I can't put cornrows in? I mean, I like the idea that on St. Patrick's Day, I like the idea on St. Patrick's Day, and this is coming from somebody who is predominantly Irish. I'm a firm believer on St. Patrick's Day, everybody's fucking Irish. If you got a beer in your hand, everybody's Irish. It doesn't matter. I think the Irish are very, very open about that. Not saying that any other group isn't.
No, they're very welcoming.
As far as they're concerned, okay, you want to drink with us and celebrate with us? Fine. As long as you're not an eye tie, we're good.
Yeah.
Eye tie being Italian, in case you didn't know.
Oh, is that what that means? Jesus, dude.
Yeah. I have Italians in my family too. And it's actually, it was funny enough.
This is okay.
I have a grandparent.
I have a grandparent.
I have grandparents. My grandfather is almost like 90% Irish, come from an Irish family. That's literally like one or two generations off the boat from Ireland. Potato farmers, of course. And his second wife was a woman who was whose family was Sicilian. She was the first generation born in the United States. She was a Sicilian from New Jersey.
Okay.
Whose uncles and cousins and extended family used to do personal business in the back of her dad's shop, pulling up in big Lincolns and other, you know, black cars. And they had villas in Aruba. What I'm saying is that that part of the family is mob connected, Sicilian, Italian. And so this divorced Irishman with kids married the Sicilian woman whose family was part of the mob. And that didn't go over well. Both Catholic, but it doesn't matter because Irish Catholics and Italian Catholics, no mixy. But they did. So I do have the lineage to be able to make those jokes, and it's okay. I have the family history to make those jokes. And it's a thing. It is. It's. I don't know why it's a thing that the Irish and the. I think it's the reason. I think it's because Irish and the Italian are some of the most fervent Catholics that exist. And so it's like a Catholic thing on top of it being a different country thing. Plus, their flags are very similar. So there's that too. So yeah.
Okay,
it's a thing. It's just a thing.
God.
But anyway, we. If we are going to be proper friends, proper supporters of not just the friends and family that we have that are Black Americans, but all Black Americans, all Americans, regardless of your skin tone, because all we're talking about here, all those words use the white, the word white, the word black, that's all not all of it, but it is mainly used to try to denote the difference in skin tone. Now, there are cultural things involved in it as well, but that's because the cultural things have built because they've been forced into these little slots for all these years because of people having an issue with the color of somebody's skin. We want to be a friend to all of our fellow Americans, regardless of anything that defines them as different from somebody else. They're still all Americans. They're still all here. And we should try to support them in the way we can. You're right. We don't know what to do. As white people, we don't know what to do on Juneteenth to celebrate it properly. We don't know what the traditional things are unless we've been brought in to be a part of them before. But we should learn, and we should be wanting to be a part of the celebration. This should be a holiday for us to support and love all of our friends, all the people we know, all the people that are Americans. And this is one of those that is just like July 4th. This is a distinctly American holiday. Christmas is not an American holiday. There's Christmas all over the place. Thanksgiving is an American holiday. This is an American holiday. Mm-hmm. And we need to look at it as Americans. And trust me, I will find out what the appropriate and respectful proper food is to have on Juneteenth. Respectful, mind you. I'm not going to go in and play into any stereotypes. Respectful. Just like spam, okay. Even though there's stereotypes that spam might play into for July 4th. Spam is there for July 4th, not because, even though spam wasn't around during the War of Independence, doesn't matter. It is still a patriotic American food because it helped win the war. So, I'll find something, because you have to be able to eat on a holiday. Make sure you're eating the right things and not being stereotypical and wrong.
Yeah, that's going to be
that'll be the tightrope to have to walk. But anyway, so people, Juneteenth is now a federal holiday. We need to recognize it. We need to learn more about it, like Mike is doing, like I am trying to do. So when we do talk about it, when people are wondering, what the heck is this Juneteenth? We have information to give. And it's always okay to say, that's all the information I have. I don't know more, but let's learn more. Because then we can grow. Then we can become better. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So happy Juneteenth, Mike.
Happy Juneteenth?
Yeah, let's say, I'm saying that to you. Happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth.
I think that's the way we're supposed to say it.
I think so.
If we're wrong, somebody will tell us, and we'll do it right the next time.
Okay.
All right. Right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have something that is a little bit less of a serious topic. It is something that has been a major topic of debate for the last week or so. I'm not going to let Mike know because I want to surprise him, because I'm sure he doesn't think I'm going to bring this up.
Okay.
And there have been similar discussions that have actually happened in mainstream media back when we were teenagers.
Oh, really?
Not quite the same, but similar discussions. And we're going to talk about the newest kind of scandal in that. And again, more levity in the second half, although it is to a certain group of people, this is serious content. So we'll be back in just a minute.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thexennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we're back, everybody.
Okay.
Okay, again, I want to remind people that this second half we're going to be talking about a subject that has a lot more levity to it, and a subject that I think we can both speak a little bit more confidently on, seeing as we are fairly knowledgeable, hopefully, about all the things contained within this conversation.
Okay,
this isn't one where we need where I think we need a little more knowledge. Okay, so are you ready for this, sir?
Yeah, let's go.
So, you'd say that you and I are both fairly avid comic book fans, right?
I would say, like, I am not as deeply educated, I think, in even most comic books as you would be, but okay. I would relatively say.
Okay, so when it comes to, say, there's multiple different comic houses, but the two biggest comic book houses in the United States have got to be Marvel and DC, right?
Yes, very much so.
And now, when it comes to Marvel, I would say my knowledge of the different things involved with Marvel is probably more than yours. That's that because Marvel's yes. more my comic book house.
That's your forte, yeah.
Especially when it comes to the cinematic universes, but even just the universes in general and some of the knowledge of characters, their histories, their inner workings, all that kind of stuff. That's usually more my forte. DC is a little more your forte, although I do have some knowledge, especially about some of the main characters in DC. I have some pretty good knowledge. Well, the comic book world has been in a little bit of an uproar for the past week.
Why is that?
With regards to one specific comic book character, well, technically speaking, three specific comic book characters.
Three.
Of the DC universe. And let me tell you how this all started.
Okay.
A few years ago, you even talked to me about a new animated series, basically an R-rated, in some ways almost X-rated animated series that was on subscription services.
Oh, God. You
can just get it anywhere. And this series would be the Harley Quinn series. You know what we're talking about now, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do.
Isn't that funny? You see why I was kind of tickled about talking about this?
I love this.
So there's the Harley Quinn animated series, which I have watched bits and pieces of. And this is not a series for kids. Kaley Cuoco from Big Bang Theory is the voice of Harley Quinn in this.
Yes.
And it is very adult.
Very much.
There is a lot of violence, a lot of foul language. My understanding, a lot of sexual situations.
Yes.
This is not for kids. This is a complete adult thing that's being done. Well, the creators of this have been given a lot of license to do a lot of fun things with these characters and go way overboard with the characters in many, many ways. However, for one of the recent seasons, or one of the new seasons that are going to be put out, the showrunners had an idea for one of, if not the biggest comic book character of all time, at least in the top three. I mean, the top three comic book characters of all time, if you want to look at sales, you want to look at cultural understanding, Superman, right?
Yes.
Spider-Man, interestingly, yes. They share the same color scheme.
Okay,
and Batman. And
okay.
Batman is the one we're talking about since it's a Harley Quinn TV show. Batman has been featured in the show, and there was a specific scene that the creators of this show wanted to include. I'm guessing in this show, Batman and Catwoman have some kind of a relationship, which has happened many different times in the comic books.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been sexual relation in the comic books. The scene in question that they wanted to have was Batman having a conversation with Catwoman directly after he was performing oral sex on her. DC said no, you can't do that, Steve.
Why?
Batman, the Harley Quinn showrunners were like, why can't we do that scene? Why can't we have that? DC's response, and this is what set off a firestorm in the comic world. Now, this is not something that was paid attention to in the general world, because last week there was far more important things in general society to be paid attention to. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please re-listen to the first part of this podcast, because that happened, making that a holiday happened this last week. So that was kind of really important, but in the comics world, this was a big deal.
Oh, no.
And
I don't know what DC, they said. Yeah.
The response from DC was, heroes don't do that.
Excuse me?
That was DC's official response to the showrunners for
Heroes Don't
Heroes, wait. Heroes don't do that.
So heroes don't do that, as in heroes don't perform oral sex? Is that specifically what they're talking about? Or heroes do not do that? Because they fucking reneged on that back during the Killing Joke animation. Literally the end of the first portion of the Killing Joke animation, the Killing Joke animated film, with Hamill and Conroy, by the way, ended in a love scene with Batman and Batgirl? No. First off, everybody fucking hated that, but they seem to have greenlit that. Thanks, Bruce Timm. What made you think that was a good idea? And you all of a sudden now have a problem with Batman going down on Catwoman? Really?
That's the question.
It's not like it happened. It's not like you're watching it happen. You want to watch it happen, you can go to various websites and see that shit.
Well, and the thing is,
that's ridiculous.
The question is whether it's specifically oral sex or whether it's a man performing oral sex on a woman.
Okay, so they said heroes don't do that, but they didn't explain it, and now everybody's interpreting it because it's a broad ass topic.
Yes, everybody is interpreting it, and there are even people involved with Batman in various cinematic media ways that have issued personal statements about it.
Oh, that's great. I got to hear this. Who turns Diedrich Bader?
Diedrich Bader, who has been one of the voices of
He is
of
the
Batman.
Voice of Batman and Harley Quinn.
He is the Harley Quinn
He
voice
is the Harley
Batman.
Quinn Batman. He was in Brave and the Bold and they got him for Harley Quinn. What did he say? Please.
His response is, yes, Batman does. Yes, he does. Val Kilmer, coming out of obscurity, actually posted something on Twitter using a scene from Batman Forever, where he's talking to Chase Meridian about having some wine and giving it a go. That's the scene. Bit of dialogue was his response. And then one of the people that has one of the most tumultuous histories with Batman, recent histories, I should say, with Batman, decided to also take to Twitter because that's the place to respond to these things.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And the only word that was a picture was posted, and the only word that was posted was the word canon.
Canon? What was the picture?
Mm-hmm.
What was the picture?
The picture is a shot. It's a piece of art drawing. Shot kind of looking like it's from the perspective of right by Catwoman's head, and Batman's face is buried in her crotch.
What?
And he's in full uniform, and he's looking directly at the artist drawing. Yeah.
Whoa.
It's actually one of those things that's you have to literally click on the thing to make it visible to see it because it's considered,
Okay, I think I have an idea who this might possibly be. And on top of that, I have to ask, is this an actual comic panel? Is this canonical art?
I don't know if it's I don't know about that for sure.
But it's got it. That sounds like Affleck.
No,
it's not Affleck.
You're close though.
Who is it?
Who else would it be if I'm saying you're close with
fucking Kevin? Is it Kevin? You said he had a tumultuous relationship with Batman, but you didn't say that he played Batman.
Hold on a second, sir. I'm going to send it to you so that you can see.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, message me this real quick. I gotta see this. I apologize for the slight delay in this. I wanna see it.
The delay is good. The delay
okay.
is good because
okay,
I want
yeah.
your response.
We gotta see this, man. I'm ready. Okay. Here's the message. Oh, oh my God. Dear,
first of all,
fucking,
that,
first
that
off,
picture.
Zach, and second, that picture? Holy shit.
That's a good picture, huh?
The following media includes potentially sensitive content.
Yeah. And so people understand that.
Oh my God.
Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder posted that. Zack Snyder, the
holy Man shit. There, there's director, yeah, when
Dawn of Justice director, just true Justice League director. Yeah, as far as Zack Snyder is
gravy,
concerned,
dude, that is insane.
His Batman would do that. Now, the conversation that has come up on this is a conversation that has been going on for a long time, and it has to do with the censoring in media of female sexuality and female enjoyment of sexuality.
Right.
And the idea that a hero like Batman would not be giving the female oral pleasure because that is something that is in some way taboo. And there have been movies that have specifically been when they go before the MPAA and have sexual scenes in them, many of the time to get the R rating, some of the toning down of sexual scenes are with regards to women's enjoyment of sexual scenes. The movie Boys Don't Cry, where Hilary Swank was playing the role of Brandon Tina, a character was female,
yes,
but dressed as a man and had what was at that point a best described as gender identity issues in a time where those things were not understood and were not allowed really to happen. And there was a specific scene where that character, Hilary Swank's character, was giving oral pleasure to a female character. And they had to cut one frame of you didn't see the pleasure necessarily happening, but as Hilary Swank's character moved her head away from the woman's crotch, she wiped her face.
Yeah.
As if wiping any kind of condensation or any kind of fluid
off
her face.
Right,
the wiping of the face, had to be cut out for them to get the R rating because that was considered too salacious. Because otherwise the head didn't have to be necessarily in her, you know, in her crotch. The person didn't have to necessarily have their mouth on her vagina.
Yeah.
It could have been somewhere else. And thus not as salacious, thus not as, I don't even know not as what. Basically, that there's been in media, there's been this concentrated effort to either demonize or downplay any kind of women's enjoyment sexually.
Oh, and I see where you're coming from. Okay, I can understand that.
That's the argument that's happening with this. This is DC being old school, being an old school mentality, and no. Our masculine man isn't going to do this, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Well, right.
He's supposed to be as Bruce Wayne. He's supposed to be a rich playboy. Come on,
that's fucking true. Like that is a major. Happy. Yeah, that is a major. You gotta give that part major credit. It's not like how would Batman not do that? Batman and Bruce are the same guy.
And then you go across the aisle there to Marvel Comics. And there is a scene in an actual Marvel comic. This is not in a cinematic universe. This is not in an R-rated cartoon like Harley Quinn is. This is in actual Marvel comics of the original Ant-Man. Hank Pym.
Yeah.
With his wife, Janet Van Dyne.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not only practicing cunnilingus on her, he's also shrunk down to little size and physically inside and around her.
What?
Vagina. Yep. And she is getting off
in
comic book panels.
My God.
Yes. This
That's
this
an
is done,
actual
like,
panel?
This is done back in like the 90s. You don't see her vagina, but he's
no, of course know, not.
Small head and that he's small and headed that way.
Oh yeah. My goodness.
And there is actual panels of her with her kind of throwing her head back, supposed to be in ecstasy and moaning and what.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This isn't official comic book?
Marvel had a... Yep.
That's insane, dude. Oh, my God. It okay, is. I've seen a couple of memes from random-ass people, okay? That... I've seen a couple of memes from random-ass people that make sense. But that's literally the most I'd seen of this. I didn't know that there were other people and these kinds of responses that were legitimately happening. I didn't know that. Wow. That is the part that actual celebrities have gotten behind this is it's insane. I love it. I love this. This is great. But
okay, so the panel is not exactly as I described it, but I just sent you the panel as well.
Okay. All right. Good gravy. This is a very strange subject. I love
this. This is a strange subject, but this is
I love it.
This
it's is something fucking that, great.
This is something that I mean. There was when we look back to what is our experience with the first real Batman movie with Michael Keaton, right? And there was implication that him and Vicki Vale hooked up.
But of then course there was. That they,
but then there was also implication that maybe they didn't because she wakes up and he's hanging from the with the weird boots upside down. She doesn't necessarily wake up in bed with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's implication of that. There's implication, of course, that him and Selina Kyle is going to hook up. But they don't fully. Right? They're right. Almost there, but they don't fully because shit gets in the way. They wanted to. So there's some tension there, but like this is, you know, again, those were all just mind thoughts as far as Batman, you know, was he going to hook up with Catwoman? Was he going to hook up with whatever? I mean, you do have later on, who was it who basically raped Nightwing? Wasn't it one of the, female villains that kind of took advantage of Nightwing at one point, Robin?
I know.
Was it Harley or was it I forget who it was.
I don't know who it was that actually did that. There have been stories of rape, forgiven rape in comic continuity. I think it happened in Marvel in like the 60s or 70s or something like that. There was a story where there was somebody who was raped and then she forgave her rapist and there's been some seriously fucked up stuff that's happened in comics, right?
But you have the issue with the cunnilingus. That's the
problem.
Issue.
Oh, Batman doesn't Batman, do that.
Yeah.
There was one meme that I think properly defines this for me personally, which was somebody had the, it was the meme of Batman sitting, I think he's sitting in a cafe and the cowl is on his head and it's not Christian Bale, but it's the Christian Bale Batman head. Like, I don't know where this awkward ass picture showed up, but it's him sitting in a cafe by himself with the mask on or with the suit on. And it's just a meme that says, don't tell me this mask is not built for that.
Yeah.
Like
it really is.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean,
yeah.
The mouth is open for a reason, people.
It's there. but yeah,
and
like
and the thing is, again, this is something that is becoming a discussion now. But you were right in assuming that I was maybe thinking about Kevin Smith in this, because Kevin Smith wrote a conversation about superhero sex.
Yeah.
Into a movie.
Yeah.
And it's one of the more famous scenes in Mallrats.
Yeah.
Which is funny because they talk about Superman having sex, but then he ends up having a conversation with Stan Lee later, which has nothing to do with Superman. But the idea of Superman having sex with Lois Lane and possibly killing her as a result, you know, with the speed and power with which his sperm would ejaculate. Kind of funny when you think about it.
It's blows a load like a shotgun.
Exactly. He needs some kind of a gun license for it or something.
And just imagine if she did get pregnant. Kid kick right through her stomach.
Exactly. Just yeah, she needs great a little bit of
sunburn. That's such a quotable line.
And the thing is, that's so. This is something that's always been on the minds and imagination of all of the comic book nerds.
Oh, for sure.
And these guys that are the showrunners of the Harley Quinn show, they're comic book nerds. I'm sure they want it. They're trying to do justice to that. But no, DC doesn't want to let Batman please his lady. And I'm sorry, but here's one of those moments where I'm going to make a public announcement. I've already kind of stretched myself a little bit on this episode, but I'm going to make more of a public announcement in this. Men and women, depending, and anybody that doesn't identify men or women, if you are with somebody sexually who has a vagina, they like it when you do that. When you pay attention to that vagina, with all parts of your body that they're okay with you paying attention to that vagina, they like that. Do that to make them happy. You might enjoy it too. That's what I have to say about that. Do it, damn it. And damn it, DC.
A public service announcement from James. Batman, do everybody.
It. Yes. It's a good thing.
You'll but yeah, like dude, I love the, I will say this. I absolutely love the response from everyone. As soon as DC tried to put a fucking, just tried to put a cap on it, like, no, this isn't a thing. Everybody was like, oh, fuck off, dude. Fuck off. You know he does. Everyone did it.
We're gonna make this a thing. And that is something about it. There's been nobody other than DC that has come out and been like, nah, Batman ain't gonna do that.
Right.
There have been Batman people. Yeah, there have been Batman connected people who haven't said anything, and most of them are probably like, yeah, I'm gonna just wait because DC can say no, I can't play Batman again. Like Affleck's probably sitting there going, I might have a chance to play Batman again, so I'm just not going to say anything. I don't know what Robert Pattinson does. Sadly, we have to throw him into the conversation because he's Batman in a new Batman movie. I don't know. I'm sure Kevin Conroy is kind of holding on, waiting to say something. Although that's surprising.
Oh God.
I'm surprised that the Joker himself hasn't made any comment on it.
Dude, dude, he is such a powerhouse. Mark is such a powerhouse at this point that he could say something if he wants to, and he would be unscathed. Same with Kevin, I would assume, right? Like they've got the right guys. For they are those voices, legacy voices. So
yeah,
there's nothing that you could do to stop them, even if they were to say something like that. But it's really, really hilarious just to think that this is such a controversial subject, especially with what has been. And you know what? Good on everyone else for responding the way that they did, because it's not like, who cares? Personally, I don't think that it's really a big deal that everybody responded that the way that they did, in at least in some form. There is a certain form of solidarity and positivity to this. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
But I personally think that the best part of the conversation was looking at all of the other things that have happened in comic books in general. And you know that DC has touched on this and has done things like that. I can't think of any of those situations right off the top of my head, but especially in a male dominated situation, you can look at those, you can look at comics books past and let's dissect the hell out of them. Let's call them on their shit. Cause it's
I do want to add that it is, for me at least, it's an amusing thing that, in the Marvel situation, the thing I sent you, and you saw the
I did see the panel. Right? I'm sorry, you were talking, so I didn't want to interrupt you. But that's hilarious.
You do see the point where Ant-Man is small. What's funny about that is, again, that's the Hank Pym Ant-Man, and I find that amusing that that's basically having him performing Cunnilingus, and the actor who portrays Hank Pym, Michael Douglas, famously said that he got his cancer in his throat, mouth, tongue. I forget exactly where it was, but it was in that general region.
Oh,
he famously said he got that from performing too much cunnilingus. So,
Come on, Mike.
Yeah. So I find that very, very amusing.
That's ridiculous.
His, His wife thought he was pretty ridiculous too. Keep in mind he's married to Catherine Zeta-Jones, who's like in her 50s now and still super hot.
Yeah. So, well, he was also he's a total asshole. Like, to be real, he's a total asshole. Yeah. I remembered hearing back in the day that if she lost her, if she gained weight while she was pregnant after the kid, he said he'd divorce her or some shit. I remember hearing that about him. And this, I'm sorry, stating that you got throat cancer from performing Cunnilingus is right along the lines of that. That makes me believe the previous statement. Like, he just seems like a asshole. And that sucks, because I like him as an actor. He's a good actor.
Now, the sad thing about all of this, in my mind, the truly sad thing about all of this, is there's one person's opinion on this that we don't get to have. And I would just love to have heard his opinion, especially in his voice.
Kevin?
Wouldn't you? No. Kevin who?
Conroy.
Kevin Smith?
Fuck no.
Kevin? No. No. Whose voice would you rather hear? Or her, actually, let me phrase that. Who would be the best voice, humor-wise, but also to feel good about it, to inform the populace? That Batman would most certainly take care of Catwoman in that way. Wouldn't it be great?
Hold on. Let me guess first. Let me say it first, because I think I know where you're going, and I agree wholeheartedly. Keaton.
No.
Not Keaton?
No.
Who?
Imagine Adam West talking about it.
Well, we can't have that.
I know, that's why I'm saying it's so sad.
God, it would have been great though.
But it would be
Didn't he used to talk about how he used to, like, there were like orgies and shit back in the day with him?
Oh, yeah. Him and Burt Ward had like major orgies with Batman fangirls back in the day. You know, Adam West.
Oh my
Batman,
God.
Adam West Batman was down there in Munchen. You know he was.
Oh yeah, yeah,
he
absolutely.
Was a good boy.
You know,
he knew how to take care of business.
He was a good boy.
And I just can imagine, just imagining Adam West.
I could see him having a Twitter account, and his it would be three words. Yes, I did.
Exactly.
That's it.
And that's all that would need to be said.
Yeah.
So we're missing out on that wonderful opportunity.
Oh God.
Mr. Adam West to give his opinion on it.
That's sadness.
It is sadness. But if we've learned anything, we've learned that DC Comics is still, as is proven by their shoddy attempt at cinematic universes and at letting a
well, somebody I don't take, say DC is bad at it. I think Warner's bad at it.
Well, yes. Okay, I'll agree with you on it being Warner, but DC lets that happen.
True.
But DC is still stuck in a backwards. Yeah. DC is still stuck in a backwards mentality, it seems like, when it comes to women's sexuality. And they really need to move up with the times and understand that women need to be able to be portrayed as being sexual creatures, enjoying sex, and that not being a character flaw in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, they got to fix their shit.
And Batman, let's just be honest, Batman does that.
Oh, Batman totally does that.
If he doesn't do that, he's not my hero. That's what I'm saying.
I like that.
I'm saying,
you know, I'll agree with that entirely.
If I was Batman for the day and I'm hooking up with Catwoman, I'm totally doing that. Although, honestly, let's be completely honest about this. If she's Catwoman, right?
Right.
So technically, if he's licking or kissing her anywhere,
no, stop. Oh God.
The pussy? No? Am I wrong?
I hate you. You took it too far.
Yeah, I've been waiting on that. I've had that joke waiting for like 3 days now.
Oh,
I said
God.
It in the car to my wife, and she's like, "You're seriously going to do? So going to do that?
I Mike's hate you.
Lose his shit.
I hate you so much.
So from James and from Mike, I'm going to go out on the limb with this. We believe Batman would go down on Catwoman.
Oh, that's a fact.
Possibly Poison Ivy if he's feeling in a V, but definitely on Catwoman.
There's some issues with Poison Ivy. Her name is Poison Ivy.
Sometimes it's worth it, bro. Oh, also, though, isn't it, also in the Harley Quinn thing, aren't her and Harley in a relationship?
Yeah.
So, I mean, whole different story there.
I was going to say that's them. That they've got their thing going on.
But anyway, it does mean that I'm more interested now in watching the. But the Batman we know, the Batman that we love, he would do that.
Yeah.
So I hope you enjoyed listening to both of these conversations. Again, one serious, one more amusing. Hopefully we leave you with something funny to go into the rest of your week. Mike.
Yes.
Where would people be listening to us?
Well, you could be listening to us on thezenialchronicles.com. That's our official website. If you want to get their shorthand, it's zenchron.com. That's spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. We are always trying to expand to as many podcast platforms as we can get to, but you can currently find us on quite a few of them. So just search for us. You'll find us. And on top of that, we also have a YouTube page, which is something James mentioned at the beginning. If you are listening to us on YouTube, which you can, all our podcasts are uploaded there too, make sure that you are hitting the like button on that video, because that helps us get spread to other podcasts on it's a search algorithm thing, man. People hit the like button, we get shown to more people. That really helps us out. On top of that, you can leave a comment, because we do respond to comments, and hit the subscribe button as well while you're there. It's right next to that little like button, the little red button right there. And you know what? It kind of has to do with this conversation of the last, this last conversation that we had, James. There's something that needs to be done, and God help me, I can't remember.
You can't remember?
I can't so remember
like
right
DC,
now.
You're like DC's version of Batman.
I'm sacrificing myself to walk right into this wall happen.
Yeah. As it was moving towards it, you were like, oh fuck, he's gonna do this, isn't he? He's gonna make some kind of comment about clitorises when he's doing this. I'm not, other than the one I just made. Click the bell, everybody, because yes. When you click the bell, that's how you get notified of anything new. And let me just rephrase, when you double click the mouse, that's how you get notified you're doing the job right. See, I did say something.
Dude, click the bell and everybody wins.
Yes, exactly. while you're there, as you've left, because it helps us feel a little bit better. Like Mike said, it helps with the algorithm. It helps with my crippling depression and thinking I'm not good enough and like my videos. Not really true, but I still like it. It's awesome. Woo, I got 3 likes. I'm special. Anyway, like our video, subscribe, click that bell. And while you're there, check out, Mike has a couple other pages on YouTube. He's a little more industrious than me. I'm just, you know, sitting on my ass and doing nothing. And yeah, that's about it. So his other pages, Mike has a page that he does with his wife, Chronosode Games.
Yes.
This is Mike and his wife playing video games, supposedly in chronological order of the story, which apparently with the new, my understanding is with the new Legend of Zelda, whatever the new one's going to be, it's the sequel to Breath of the Wild, but nobody knows what the damn name of it is yet.
That yeah, because the title give it away.
It may screw up the timeline even more
than what
the timeline is already screwed up. So
yeah,
it may be good to start getting into what they're doing at Chronosode Games, so that maybe if you're a fan, you can understand what the hell is going on in the Legend of Zelda timeline. I'm just trying to play the games for fun. I'm not really worried about a timeline quite yet. I had enough timeline to learn with Halo. I'm not trying to do another game. if you're not a gaming enthusiast, but instead are a music enthusiast, Mike also has another page.
Yeah.
This one is called Ruling Note Music. This is Mike talking about everything music related, stories about history of famous albums, famous bands, gear information, recording tips. That's where you'll find it. Ruling Note Music. Go to those two pages, subscribe, like those, click the bell on those two. Why? What'd you say? When you click the bell,
everybody wins. Yeah.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.